Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
All right. Well, I sure enjoyed Christmas Eve, and I want to remind us of a passage that I read. It was 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. I just want to read this, and we'll move right into the morning teaching here. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so that we would know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. The phrase that really jumps out here is that our power, our great power, is from God and not from ourselves. There's no diminishment in this at all. There's no false humility. There's an acknowledgement that you contain great power. We've been on this theme about the power of God for over a month now, and I'm still on it. And I wanted to coach us a little bit here on living an empowered life. If you think about it, a lot of us, we grow up in a tradition of faith that might put the emphasis on the jars of clay, which is true. Our lives are fragile in a sense, like we are human beings made of dust, and to the dust and the earth we shall go, right? That's our physical bodies. However, our spirits have been united with Christ. And though our outward bodies are, I don't know, what's the word? Decaying? Who likes that word? Nobody. I don't. But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Come on, can we get behind that? That's the reality of who we are. You know, and it's a great power. And in no way am I wanting to pump up, you know, egotism. That's not the point at all. I mean, it makes it clear right here. This shows that the great power that we have is from God and not from ourselves. So there's no pride in this. It is a humbling thing, actually, to be like, wow, God, you've chosen to put a treasure inside of me. And I'm fragile. Like, I know. And you know. I mean, you know better than I do the condition of my life. You know what I'm prone to. And yet you would entrust this great treasure and this power into me. So, yeah, this empowered living is great. It's the goal, actually. And so a big part of what I do these days is a form of counseling called formational prayer. And it follows a structure. It's really following a structure of healing that's intended to help people live empowered lives. And so I want to just take a moment just to outline that structure of healing real quick. If you could try to work with the visual that I don't have and use your imaginations. Here we have life situation. Whatever that life situation is, whatever life situation you find yourself in now, if we are living from a place of brokenness and not from a place of healing, then a lot of our life situation is going to be the result of some dysfunctional behavior. And we can call that sin. We can call that missing the mark. It's not God's best for us. It's not what God intends for us. And yet we tend to orient our decisions in some dysfunctional ways. If we're experiencing the next thing down is a lot of emotional upheaval. And so we have life situation that is pretty much the result of behavior, and that behavior can be very dysfunctional if emotional upheaval is the result of false beliefs. And the false beliefs, and this is the like insidious nature of evil, the false beliefs tend to get inserted in a moment of deep wounding or trauma. And that's where the enemy of our soul would insert this thought, this lie, and all it takes is for us to agree with it, for that to take root and to start bearing fruit that creates an emotional upheaval, that creates dysfunctional behavior that creates a life situation. So we've got this reality of that we are fragile clay. And yet Jesus comes in the lowest place of our valley, and he meets us. He does not expect for us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps to get up to a level where he can meet us. He would actually meet us in the places of our deep wounding, and he would bring healing and wholeness in that place. In fact, he came on the scene and he quoted Isaiah and he says, "I've come to bind up the broken hearts." That's what he's talking about here. Those fragmented places of our lives that still have voice, still hold agreement with false beliefs, still generate a lot of emotion that can orient us towards dysfunctional behavior, because most of that dysfunctional behavior is an attempt to numb the pain or fill a void, right? So Jesus comes in, he brings his healing and this wholeness, and that wholeness is the word shalom, which means peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. And he begins to speak truth to us. And he begins to bring acceptance into our lives. He begins to settle us into our deepest identity as sons and daughters. And that comforts us, and it brings peace to our minds and our emotions. And that, in turn, fuels our empowered living. And it changes our life situations. So Jesus would meet us in this valley. And it's so kind of him to do that. And so let me orbit a little bit around one of these, and that would be particularly false beliefs. I find that this is a filter that distorts the truth about who we are, who other people are, who God is. And I think it's really important for us to let that light that Jesus has brought into our hearts shine brightly into areas where we may have had agreements with some false beliefs. And I think that that would be a really big help for us to move even closer and more fully into an empowered life. So I think the work of allowing any false belief to come into the light, and the work of renouncing any agreement that you've held with that belief, is the work of entering into deep freedom as a person. Because, I mean, what does Jesus say? He says the truth sets us free, right? And so, yeah, it kind of makes sense then that this is all oriented towards freedom. So I wanted to take a minute to talk about the power of agreement and the power of what I call withness. It's a word I made up. My friends thought I was lisping at one point when I said the power of withness. I thought I was talking about witnessing. But anyway, this is a great encouragement that we find in Jesus' teachings in Matthew 18:20, when he says, "For if two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in your midst." So if two or more of you come together, if you have a witness together, then guess what? I'm going to be with you. And I love that new song that you guys brought, because it's all about that, you know, being still and knowing that Jesus is with us. And so this witness is really an important encouragement for us. And I think at the heart of this is a spiritual power of people joining together in unity and knowing that that unity, it hosts the presence of God. So when we come together in unity as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are hosting the presence of Jesus. So let me just toss a couple phrases around that mean essentially the same thing. And I realized that when, I don't know what it is, it's like last month when the kids were in, like I went into some really deep waters. I don't know how it was for you as parents afterwards. I don't know if you had conversations about that, but you might have some after this one too. Because we're going to go into some deep waters here. Because I want to equate the term spirit, like the word spirit, with non-corporal entity. So think about the body. That's a corporal. That's the word for corporal. And the non-corporal entity is an entity, a force that has no physical body, a spirit. And so we can't perceive it with our physical senses. And yet that spirit, that non-corporal entity, carries authority and power to influence us as human beings. We love that. And it's amazing when that Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yay! We like the presence of the Lord. When God enters in our conversations, when God enters in to our family gatherings, when God enters in to our worship, our conversations around a cup of coffee, when the presence of the Lord is there, and we begin to experience this unity, not only with each other, but this withness of Christ with us. I mean, that's an amazing experience, and that's empowered living. But we have to know that this is a spiritual dynamic that works in the world as well. Works with malicious and foul and evil spirits as well. Okay? And we have to remember that while Jesus is the truth and the Holy Spirit leads us to truth, we have to remember that Satan is the father of lies and his associates distort the truth. All right? So you recall the teaching over the last few weeks about RKs? All right, so I spoke on RKs, and I'll just bring a refresher here. An RK is it's from the original Latin, and it basically means a ruling authority. It's where we get the words architect, and it's also where we get like hierarchy, like the order of authority and things like that. And Jesus was really good at identifying and even confronting these ruling authorities that were on the earth, that are still on the earth, and he actually like confronted them. And one of those, which kind of blows my mind, was family, biological family. And he was like, who is my brother? Who is my mother? You know? And he even goes so far as to say, unless you would draw a line of demarcation between your biological family and being my follower, you can't really follow me. So he's making some really clear lines here. Like your family has a ruling authority, but it's not supposed to be. If you're going to be a follower of mine, it's not supposed to be the ruling authority that influences you to make the decisions that you make in life. Those are hard things, especially in a culture where family is so integral into the fabric of their society. And he was really bringing some confrontation to that. He was also doing that with social strata. He was doing that with money. He was doing that with politics. He was even doing that with religion. I mean, some of his most harsh comments to people were those who were kind of the chieftains of the lesser ruling authority of religion of his day. And he was bringing some serious confrontation to those folks. So we have to remember Colossians 2. This is really important for us. I'm going to just bring it to us now because this gives us a sense of what Jesus was doing. Jesus was establishing a new ruling authority, and it's called the kingdom of God. And that's why he is referred to as the chief architect. And so his power and his authority overarches all of these lesser things that the world tends to hold as powerful and influencing us and so forth. And we'll kind of circle back around to what I was sharing here in a moment. But let's read Colossians 2, and I'll go ahead and just reference it. Jesus disarmed the powers and the authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And so basically what we're seeing here is that what we just celebrated at the Lord's table is a recognition that Jesus Christ disarmed all of the lesser ruling authorities. You can be set free from the influence of all of those lesser ruling authorities when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And while Colossians 2 tells us that Jesus is the head over every power and authority, in that same chapter we're cautioned not to let anyone take us captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the, I'm going to put this in quotes, the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So this is where we start to come full circle back around. While Jesus is triumphant, we still contend with spiritual forces that seek to captivate us. It's just true. I wish it wasn't. I wish we didn't have this battle. I wish we were completely and absolutely free from spiritual conflict. Here's the connection for us. In the same way Holy Spirit is in our midst when two or more are gathered together, and in His name, what that really means is under the banner of, for the sake of, or with the intention of the heart to relate to one another as followers of Jesus. We come in His name. In the same way, I believe that we can provide spiritual access to a lesser, what was that quote, elemental spiritual force. Anytime we gather under the banner of, or with the intention of the heart to relate to one another as, fill in the blank, a Republican, a Baptist, a capitalist, a socialist, an American, an Italian, an Irishman, a progressive, a gangbanger, a Catholic, you name it, you know, a philanthropist, a beggar. Anytime you align yourself, identifying with yourself, and choosing to relate to other people under the banner of any one of these lesser RKs, you have essentially opened a door for a non-corporal entity to come in and have influence in your life. I just said that. In any way that we identify with and find community, in anything other than Jesus Christ. I mean, if we're allowing ourselves to be like influenced at all, then we are susceptible to being taken captive by a hollow or deceptive philosophy, a false belief, which is actually empowered by not only human tradition, but spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Those are His words, not mine. I want us to move towards an empowered life. In order to do that, we have to let any false belief get brought into the light so that we can renounce it, so that we can grieve the loss that was caused in our life because we aligned ourselves with it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there is a remedy here. Okay? So, you guys with me on this? I mean, if we gather under the banner of any lesser RK, we submit ourselves to the spiritual force that perpetrates that on the planet. And I can promise you, it does not have your best in mind. We actually come under the influence of a non-corporal entity when we do that. And it's a foul spirit or any foul spirits that are not submitted to Christ. And so, I mean, you'll know you're under the influence of these various powers that are in the earth. I'm just going to say it by the way that you talk and the way that you are in various settings. This is a bit of a test for me personally because I grew up learning how to be a chameleon. I grew up when I was in this situation, I was this way. When I was in this situation, I was in this way. Or I was acting this way and I would talk a certain way. And so you'll know you're under the influence of a variety of these powers when you're one way at work and you're one way at church and you're one way at home. And we often call that hypocrisy, but I think hypocrisy, what we call it, it's actually being under the influence of a lesser RK, including religion. The kingdom invites us to come into our full identity as sons and daughters. We've been raised up with Christ. We're established in Him. This is our identity, and this is where we find our withness, our sense of belonging, our community. And as we grow more and more confident in our true identity, we become settled in being the same person everywhere we go. Isn't that cool? And we can weave in and out of these different situations and these different, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be in politics. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be in business. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a family. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be, you know, of a certain ethnic group or a certain, you know, socioeconomic strata. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to, like, remove yourself from the earth. But while you're in the earth, you're not of the earth. And you can navigate through the earth as a kingdom son and daughter, And you can be the same person everywhere you go. That's freedom. And you're not under the influence of these non-corporeal entities when you step into this, because you're coming under the banner and you're trying to find your alliance with some other people, because you know that your belonging is that of a son and daughter of Christ. And so you get to have this confidence wherever you go. That's empowered living. So that was a lot, pretty deep. And I think what we want to do now is we want to identify some steps that we can take when we find ourselves in agreement with any false belief in your life. I think the first thing that we want to do is we want to identify it as a false belief and just name it. This is probably better done experientially. And so if you find some time alone, you're meditating, you're asking the Lord, like, God, just let me experience your presence. And is there anything in me that you want to just speak about? If he brings something to your mind, just call it what it is. If it's a false belief, and they can be as subtle as, I don't know, let me give you an example. I'm not worthy. Or there's a long list. Don't let me limit you. I know the ones that I've wrestled with have had to do with my ability to actually communicate clearly with people. Do you know that in my story, when I was in third grade, and it's kind of a miracle, I guess I was in California. So if you're in California in the, you know, the early 70s, you had a better chance of being like diagnosed and identified as having a learning disability than if you were in some other places in the country. But as a third grader, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. And so there were certain things that occurred in my life and some deep wounding that occurred in my young heart where the enemy of my soul inserted this thought that I was not smart. And all I had to do with it was agree with that. And that began a trajectory of my life where I'm believing that and I'm making decisions based on that belief. And it wasn't until Jesus came in and began to heal parts of me that had been impacted by the trauma of, you know, being laughed at as a child or struggling, you know, to read. It wasn't until I was probably moving into, I took a gap year out of high school into college. I took a gap year, and it was in that year that the Lord met me and he addressed this for me. And he began to reshape my belief about who I am. And so I went from being very subpar student. I mean, my kids were rummaging through a box one day of all old memorabilia that I had. And they found some of my report cards. And they were like, Dad, I can't believe all these F's and D's on your report card. It went from that, because that was my filter, to the Lord meeting me and began to speak to me about who I really am, that I have the mind of Christ. So he replaced a false belief with truth, and it began to liberate me to the point where I went through college, and when I graduated from college, I had a 3.85 whatever, and I'm just like, almost a 4.0. Dang. So close. And it's like, where did that come from? That came from being healed and liberated from the influence of a lesser arche that had a spiritual force assigned to it. You get it? So whatever it is, you identify it, you call it what it is, and then the next step in here is you allow yourself to grieve what it cost you to believe that. Just go ahead and go into that space. Let Jesus reveal to you, this is what it has cost you to believe this about yourself. I think when we go into the depth of that and we feel it, it's to that degree that we can be equally liberated from it. This isn't like a surface work. This is deep work. So once that's happened, then we can renounce any agreement that we've made with that belief. And it can be as simple as saying this: I renounce the agreement that I made with the lie that I am not smart. Whatever it was for you, whatever it is for you. And then the second thing that I'd like to add to that, because we hear that one a lot, but what I'd like to do in light of the teaching that I'm bringing to you is I'd like to encourage you to renounce any demonization that has occurred in your life as the result of this agreement. Shut the door on it. And if it was the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross that disarmed that rule, disarmed that authority, then you bring the blood of Christ to stand as a wall of separation between you and any foul thing. What we're talking about here is kind of some heavy, deep stuff. And the enemy is not happy about it. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you that you are the one who is inviting us into deeper freedom. And so, Lord, we do want to renounce any agreement that we've made with a lie. And we do want to renounce any way that a foul spirit has had an influence in our lives. We do want to be set free from anything that has captivated us that's not of you. And we want to come into the truth. And so, Jesus, I ask you, like as we're going through this, replace that lie with a corresponding truth. That's the next thing, is just to let the truth come in. And Jesus, restore to us what has been lost. So this is the way, you know, of coming into fullness, coming into that empowered life, where as fragile jars of clay, we have a tendency to align ourselves with things. We come by it honestly. To a slight extent, like we really do want to belong. We were made to belong. And so in any way that we're not belonging, Lord Jesus, right now, I just want to pray that you would come in and just feel that. So at the heart of it, we submit our lives to Christ and we identify with him. We find our belonging and our community and his body, and it's his spirit that unites us. And so this is the power of God on display. Can I just say that is the power of God on display, this work that he's doing. So it's a great power that God's given to you and I. And we have this light shining in our hearts. And although we are fragile jars of clay, we do contain this great treasure. And it makes it really clear that this power is from God and not from us. So I just want to pause for a moment. Jesus, What is it you would want to say, or what is it you would want to do here? Like, what would you want to do to bring seriously strong encouragement to our hearts? I just see the Lord, like, you know, we think about the fierceness of God. There's a wrath that we read about. There's this idea that God is a judge. Let me just say that God is going to judge anything that hinders you from experiencing his love and anything from you experiencing the truth that sets you free. He is not judging you. He is judging the things that are against you. Whoa, God, you are just so good at just coming in and being our source of redemption and being our rescuer. So Jesus, if we're allowing you to shine your light on any false belief, it's your kindness that does that for us. You are not against us. You're for us. And so Jesus, as we move into this new decade, as we transition from what was to what can be, Lord, I pray that it would be our life's pursuit to live empowered lives that are really based on the truth. And I pray, God, that you would unite us by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for your promise that when we gather together in your name, you're in our midst. And so I pray for the manifest presence of God to be poured out into your lives. I just pray right now for God to bring his goodness into your life this new year, this new season. I pray for favor to rest on you. I pray for God to open doors for you. I pray for God's provision to be released to you in its good timing. And I pray for your hearts to be united with Christ in a way that is very intimate and personal. So I bless those quiet times that you have with God, that abiding place that you have with Jesus. I bless you as you move into this next year to experience the fullness of God. I bless you to remember that all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I pray that as you reflect on the prophetic words that have come to you, the promises that God has spoken to you through his word, the ways that God has communicated hope to you, I pray that you would bring those to remembrance and hold on to those things. And I pray that truth would rule the day in your life and that the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth and that you'd be set free in ways that you never dreamt possible and that you would accomplish things in life that you never saw yourself doing and you would give glory to Jesus for all the ways that he's not only liberated you but the ways that he's empowered you by his Spirit. Lord, I am so grateful for this community and I'm so grateful for the gift of my friends here. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that you have answered the deep longings of our heart. We belong. We have a place. And so we do gather in your name. And I pray that this next year would be marked by your presence, your tangible, manifest presence. Anytime we come together, God, whether it's a large group or a small group, thank you that your promise is true. You will be with us. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing on each family represented here. Lord, that they would be consecrated unto you and that your kingdom would be established in their homes, that your joy and your peace would be evident, and that you would make things right. So Jesus, it's in that confidence that I pray in your name, knowing that these things are available for all of us. So Jesus, bless each one of my friends here. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.